All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back. Today, we're doing the after show. Obviously, that's why you're here. That's the title of the show. But I'd say, Raph, we have definitely outdone ourselves in terms of the strangest studio that we've ever been in.
We're in an art studio.
Yeah, do you want to describe to the listeners exactly where we are?
Basically, we're in like a, imagine like a cage full of art. So probably got about, I don't know, maybe 40 paintings surrounding us and like lots of half-painted paintings and just general, probably about 100 like half squeezed out paint tubes.
Yep.
As well.
Yep. I'd agree with that description.
This is the lair where my mum does all her painting.
Yeah, your mum's an artist, which is pretty cool. She's got some really good stuff. There's a photo of you with a mohawk and blood on your face. Pretty famous photo.
Not a painting.
And there's all kinds of like weird dolls and stuff in here. But the reason is because we actually recorded the after show yesterday, but unfortunately, now this is an unpaid product review. The Rode. Podcaster Pro. If you guys have looked into podcast gear, you might know, you might have heard of Rode. Rode is an Australian microphone company. They created this gear called the Podcaster Pro. I think it's like a, basically what it is, it's like a mix amp thing. And it's like really, it's like done for you, really easy. It makes mixing and podcasting super straightforward. And it absolutely just like flopped on us yesterday. Like did the recording. Done, popped it out, put on my computer, found out later that night that it just cut out halfway through. Mm. You do it once and it's done. If your hardware fails on you once, you can't trust it ever.
Yes.
Because now you're going into like the best, all right, you get Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. Like this is the podcast, like you, and you're just sweating bullets the whole time, wondering if it's going to cut out on you. Like
it needs to be 100%.
So it's, don't waste your money on it. Don't waste your money. And it mixes the sound really weird.
It's kind of like a bungee cord.
Right, when you bungee jump.
Yeah, like you expect 100% on those. You're not like, oh, like 70% with the bungee cords. Like,
it failed me one time. Yeah. One time, all of it snapped.
If you're about to jump, they're like, oh, last month, one snap. But these ones are like, we're going pretty strong this month. You're like, I'm not jumping.
Yeah, no
it's
way.
It's the same with you podcasting. Once you get K-Star in and you've traveled halfway across the world,
needs
to be recording.
Yeah, exactly. So, Raph, I have some news for you today. Mm. So, I got a hormone test back. I was in the process of... Well, if you guys know anything about the history of Silicon Valley, there's this company called Theranos, or did exist, Theranos, Elizabeth something.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show before,
right,
Bad
right.
Blood, the book.
Yeah, so this girl, she basically raised like $9 billion or got a $9 billion valuation, basically just a massive crook, stole heaps of investors' money on like a false product. Anyway, here's the Australian version of it.
Oh, really?
hopefully not going down the same rabbit hole, but... They didn't measure my hormones off a prick of blood. That's the goal. They're working towards the technology. It's very difficult technology. Right now, if you ask anyone that knows anything about biomedical sciences, you need a decent amount of blood to get like an accurate hormone test. So right now, this company is just kind of experimenting with current at-home DIY hormone testing kits.
Is that just like a knife?
Yeah. Yeah, you just scrape it out. Just bleed into this bag. And we've got... it's a saliva test.
Oh, wow.
And so they've just uploaded it to their website. But if they really like this company, obviously they got all the hormone testing equipment.
Okay.
They just need to somehow make it from saliva to blood. So they kind of like white label it.
So how have you got all these results just from saliva?
Yeah, just from saliva.
Wow.
Yeah,
you can get testosterone from saliva.
Looks like it. Mm. Yeah. So what we've got here is we've got, there's five things that they measured. Estrogen E1, estradiol, testosterone, DHEA, and cortisol. And basically, I am in the normal range for testosterone.
That's bullshit, bro. Estrogen. It says there, you must be using. It says right there in the fine print.
Yeah, just jacked out of your mind. The only thing that's a bit concerning is cortisol is like basically zero.
What time of day was it though? Because that fluctuates a lot.
Yeah, but because how cortisol works, it's highest in the morning, right? Because it's like kind of the hormone that keeps you awake and alert and stuff. And then by the end of the day, it's basically zero. But I did it in the morning.
Oof.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit concerned. But the doctors, so they write like the doc. Obviously, a lot of people are going to get this test and have no fucking clue what that means. But the doctor's comments they have is normal estrogen, a steroid hormone that is one of the three major types of estrogen. Normal estradiol, a steroid hormone that is formed from estrogen. Normal testosterone, a steroid hormone from, and the major male sex hormone, we all knew that. Increased DHEAS, a precursor to the major steroid hormones. Some people take DHEA to kind of boost testosterone.
Yeah, we talked about that before. It doesn't really work.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. The science doesn't support it.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where you, like, it made its way around the forums. I remember reading it on bodybuilding.com. It's like, dude, DHA.
Dude, I remember I was reading the forums.
I ordered it.
I went downstairs. My dad had it.
Oh.
And I was like taking it already. And he still got it. And then
the same batch.
And then I just like forgot about it, whatever. And then we talked about it once at CrossFit. And my understanding of it is that it
But did you take it to boost your testosterone?
Yeah, no one would do CrossFit when I was like 17 at school, just lifting weights.
Yeah, but that's why you thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't taking it something else.
No.
So why did he get it? He had low DHEA.
Yeah, I think the doctor just gave it to him, I guess.
Yeah.
This is older.
Yeah.
I definitely wasn't trying to get jacked.
Yeah.
Well, unsuccessful if he was. but I can safely tell you, didn't really make a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, where are we? Consider excessive supplement intake. Also consider diet and lifestyle, low cortisol, a steroid hormone. Patient advised to see their GP to discuss result. DHEA supplement can explain low cortisol, but I'm not taking DHEA.
Mm.
Also consider diet and lifestyle. So, I don't know.
You can just admit it if you are taking it.
But, dude.
Doctor says
you're taking it. But test was in the normal range. If I'm taking that shit, I want it like smashed out the red bar. Like, I want just... I don't want abnormal. I want extremely abnormal. I want mutant. If they type mutant in there, I want to... That's what I want. Nah, the cortisol is...
So how much was this test?
It's free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm helping him out. So it's a startup company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
but it's not free for everyone.
No, I don't think it'd be that expensive, man, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'll need to ask, check with Alex, but I'm not sure. If you guys want to check it out, just send us a DM and I can... It's for Australian people, but I can give you the details and you can participate in it, get your hormones checked.
Yeah, wow.
But I want to test it again.
Okay, so is it live to the public or no?
Not yet.
Yeah,
cool. No, they're in beta testing. But the company that they used for the hormone testing... that they will be white labeling with, they're live. They're an operational company right now. So you can go with them. But how it's uploaded to this website, no, it's not like that. Cool. Now, before we get into the other listener questions, I also decided to sign up to basketball. It was a weird moment, right? So like I'd been, you know, you guys listen to the show. So I played basketball when I was younger and it was probably the second most played sport that I did. So soccer was the first. I started soccer when I was six. And I played it all the way up until I was 20. So I played it for 14 seasons straight. That was the most, that's definitely the sport I'm most confident in, playing soccer. And basketball, I played from, I think I played, I want to say 8 or 9 years of basketball. So 6 years less than soccer. And then I did swimming for about 6 years. I played tennis for 5 years. I did baseball for about 4 years. And that's pretty much it. Mm. So I'm quite confident with basketball, but getting back into it now, I love watching basketball, but I've decided to get back into it now and it's very different. Like it's very different getting back into a sport because I played soccer my whole life. I started, you know, when I was super young to older that I basically did it through most of my childhood to adult life. So you kind of adjust your game to the different size that you are as you play. So like me going out and playing soccer now, all my calibrations of how hard I can kick and how fast I can run, it's pretty similar to when I picked it up last time. But basketball, because I left it off when I was like 16 and now I've picked it back up, you know, 10, 11 years later.
60 kilos later.
Dude, it is like so different. Like you just launch the ball like so hard. And layups used to be, I just remember walking up doing layup and I just couldn't miss. Mm. I couldn't miss. But now I miss all the time because I overshoot it because I'm like just too strong. Now when I jump, I'm like basically touching the ring every single time. So it's like a weird feeling because when you jump and you shoot when you're young, I think it just sort of happens naturally. You don't think about it because you can't really get up that high.
Mm.
But when you're a bit older and you have like, you know, I've done all this strength training, done all this explosive plyometric work, you jump, you're in the air for so long. You're like, what am I supposed to do up here? But then you realize, oh, I can stay in the air longer. So now I can do more stuff in the air. So you can like, the game's totally different now. And I used to be a guard because I was short before I hit puberty. And then now I'm really tall. So now I'm like more of a, like a center or a forward. So it's really interesting. Anyway, so my point is I've only been playing streetball. And streetball, there's like no rules. Like you can travel and shit. You can just like do moving screens. You can break heaps of rules. And I think by breaking heaps of rules, you build heaps of bad habits. Like you make heaps of fouls where you normally wouldn't make fouls. Like normally if you like reach for something in a normal game, your team will be like, what the fuck? Mm. You added to the team fouls. Why would you reach for that? Like, you know, why are you trying to go for the steal all the time? But in streetball, it's just like whatever, right? So I signed up to this five-a-side comp at the local PCYC. If anyone's listening to it in Sydney and wants to join team, I've never met anyone on the team. So you can submit a form, right? You go, you kind of pick your division. There's like 10 divisions and they kind of give you a description of each division. So I picked division one, like fuck it. And I'll probably get murdered. But you know, if you play div one, like you'll up your game, right?
Yeah.
You'll rise to the occasion or not. And so I've decided that, yeah, so I was sitting there today and I was like, you just submit, hey, I don't have a team, I'm just an individual. Then they send you an email back, hey, we've got like 10 of you as individuals, like who wants to do it? And like you pay a small fee, you get a uniform and stuff. So today I sat in front of the email, hesitated a little bit. I'm like, nah, do it, Locke, do it. And I did it. So I'm in for basketball, 5-side. So people have to come watch my games if they're in the area.
My only experience of basketball is I signed up to an intramural basketball competition at University of Florida.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, this should go fine.
This is like...
I'd like never played basketball in my entire life.
Oh my God.
And like, you know, we had basketball courts in my school. I get the whole thing, like ball in the hoop, you're on. And I was like, oh, intramural, like this is going to be like lower quality.
Ball in the hoop.
Dude, it was like... Like the whole football team was down there, heaps of black guys.
Yeah.
It was like...
Were they dunking?
Oh, dude. I didn't go anywhere near the ring. Like I would just get the ball and people just like walk up to me and take it off me and just continue on with the game. That's my only experience. I think I played one night.
Oh, my God.
I was on the field for like 7 minutes. And intramural, anyone that goes to college in America, it's like
what does that
high
mean?
Level.
What is intramural?
So it's not like the actual basketball team of the university. So
right.
It's like crazy high level.
It's just like, casual league.
Intramural just means like inside the university.
Social league.
Yeah, so you're not playing other universities, you're just like playing amongst the university.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like the Frisbee and shit we play in the show.
I'm still like such a high level.
Well, yeah, because one of the guys that just came to the gym today, the new guy that I did a session with, he used to play football for Middlesbrough, which is a Premier League team, when he was 16. And I asked him about it and stuff. And you know, the one comment he said that stuck with me, he goes, we're just so different in Australia in terms of our sporting culture. He goes, they have no idea what it's like to go. He's like, it is a massive culture shock. You grow up so quickly when you move over there for football because it's very, obviously it's really competitive, but there's no coddling whatsoever. Yeah. There's no sympathy. There's no room for like tears. There's no room for injuries and stuff. It's like, it's cutthroat because there are so, it's the sport, right? England is, they live and breathe football, right? Everyone. And so if you're an Aussie going over there, taking the spot of a local boy, it's like the pressure's on. Like people don't want you there. They want to be, you know, English boys want to play with English boys. They don't want to play with Aussies, right? They're like, this is our fucking country. Like this is our league. And so he said it was just tough. He said, you know, he played from 16 years old to 20 years old. And he said it was like brutal, brutal. He's like, but I learned a lot. I grew up. 3 knee surgeries in that 4 years. Yeah. 3 knee surgeries. Crazy. It's just injuries, eh?
Mm.
It's always injuries that separate people from making it. Yeah. It's crazy. Cool. So let's jump into some listener questions. But before we do, I actually posted a thing on Instagram on the weekend. I was reading a porn addiction guide for a friend, and I was thinking about because in the article they explained the history of porn and like the history of masturbation and how it's like evolved over time and stuff. And you think about it, obviously, like you need stimulus like to form any habit. Right, you need stimulus and then consequence, action. Oh, sorry, action, consequence, right? And when the stimulus lives in your pocket 24/7, like you create this artificial environment, as they go to explain, of just like, it just can totally wreck your life, right? It can just get like out of control because anytime you feel like it, anytime you have the urge, you can just switch on your phone. Whereas like, if you had the urge 20 years ago or whatever, like you have to go find a dirty magazine or some shit, right? You have to...
They probably have those like, you know, those picture-able things that you can like scroll through and it makes a video?
Or the flip books.
The flip books where you flip books. Really, really fast and it makes a small video.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure they had those.
Yeah, but you need 2 hands for that.
Yeah.
Or you can masturbate with your forearms and your elbows.
You ask a friend to flip through it for you.
Don't look.
Please flip through this book. Dude, it was tough times.
I'm gonna apologize for the girls listening to this this very rude conversation. But anyway, the point is, it's a really interesting read. It's kind of like how the kind of almost de-evolution of of men with porn. But it really fucks your brain up. And they have some really good advice in there for people to kind of... One of the interesting ones was delete Instagram. It's kind of had nothing to do with porn, but they're kind of explaining how Instagram can kind of be this, again, this stimulant because, you know, girls and guys that are on there half naked the whole time and then the next thing, it's kind of like soft porn these days, moves into the next one. I didn't really think about that. But yeah, you can...
It's like a gateway drug. It's like, it's like the marijuana.
You scroll through like 10 asses and you're like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to real porn, you know? And it's just like... it's crazy. So there's some really good advice in there. Obviously, this is by Pilot, our new partnership. If you guys are interested, they have tons of really good articles. Pilot.com.au. So just go in there now, read the porn addiction guide. Read it for a friend. And yeah, it's definitely worth a read. So pilot.com.au. You guys can go check that out now. So got some listener questions. Some really good ones. The first one is about coaching. It's about, so I was reading it before, and it basically has to do with when do you feel like, you know, you and your coach have kind of reached a point where it's time to move on. I'm going to get the name of this person, but it did stick out for me a lot. Here we go. It is from Mark Jansen, 14. The specific question, what things determine when you should make a coaching change? The best place to start, I think, is to look for what are the best qualities in a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. The best qualities when you're first looking for your coach. We've had a number of coaches, I think, both of us. Also, we've had coaches in our own sporting careers, but
yeah.
I think particularly since we started doing fitness, we've had coaches. And I mean, the biggest results I've had, particularly talking about the qualities of a coach, it's not always like, what's the best coach in the whole world for me? It's not like, you know, who is the best coach? Often it's like, hey, who's the best coach for me? And that usually comes down to so much a combination of like their experience and their knowledge base. Also, honestly, just like a personality fit with you.
Yeah.
And then also, for me, definitely like a time, like how much time investment can you get from the person? Because if you get like the best coach in the world, like best CrossFit coach ever, but he doesn't give you any time because he's got like actual way high level athletes that he cares way more about, I just think it's not that effective. Even though maybe he's like a better coach.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like usually a combination of those things. Like, hey, how, like, what's our values like? Are they similar? But like, we get along, good personality. How much time have they got for me? And how much of a priority am I going to be? Balance with like how good of a coach are they as well.
Yeah. And when you invest with a coach, it's like, it's a compounding effect of time and trust. So when you are looking for a coach, obviously, trust has to be the first thing that you go into the relationship with. So if there's a period of time where you're just kind of lying about your lifts, you're lying about your times, you know, you're lying about how you feel every day or whatever, that is only slowing the coaching process down. As a coach, you want to know the state of your athlete in the past, hopefully in the future, and then in the present to make the best coaching adjustments, the best predictability for however you go about coaching, whether it's just mental coaching, skill coaching, programming, whatever it might be. You just need to have that trust. So you as the athlete, it's your duty as well to also be the most open and honest person as well. And like, you know, don't have an ego going into this. Like that's the problem, right? Sometimes people idolize these coaches and then they hire them and then they just want to impress them the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's not about impressing your coach. It's about getting the best result for you. And sometimes that's not always, you know, that could mean your numbers getting worse. That could mean a worse performance, but it's you and your coach. It's the dynamic where you're working together. It's the relationship that you're building. That's the most important thing. So when you're looking for a coaching divorce, I would invest, like, you should invest a good amount of time. Like, it should not be an easy decision. Mm. Like, when I ended up with Kyle from Training Think Tank, we worked together for nearly 3 years. And the process of signing up with him, I'd been with a remote coach before that for, been with this guy in OPEX, not James, another James, but I think we were together for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, like two opens, I think, and then switched over to Kyle. That was a long process. I had my eye on Max from Training Think Tank for a long time, and then made the switch to Training Think Tank basically after the end of the open. Didn't really go as I was planning. Felt like I needed a bit of a change, and so went with Training Think Tank, went with Kyle. We were together for 3 years. The only reason it stopped was because I had reached a point where me as an individual had changed. I didn't want to do the sport of CrossFit anymore. I was burnt out. I said to him, look, let's just do lifestyle programming. Let's just do some bodybuilding and that sort of thing. But I did know that his specialty is the sport of CrossFit. And I felt like not doing that was almost just like not worth the money because I was not paying him for his best service. Mm. It'd kind of be like if someone came to you and they're like, hey, just coach me on skipping. Like, I can coach you to skip.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can coach... You pay me a lot of money to just do one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can do a lot more things for you. They're like, all right, cool, let's do something else. You're like, I just want to do running. So, you're skipping and running. It's like, no, you're not really getting much out of it. So, I ended up realizing that I just had to have time off from the whole thing. I was just being accountable to someone for so long. I think when we interviewed Khan Porter last, he said the same thing. He'd had coaches, he'd been accountable to someone for so long, and he just felt like it was time to just kind of be himself and just do whatever he felt like on the day. And I did that for a little bit, but then eventually came back, had some reflection, had some time off, realized, okay, what I want out of my health and fitness. I'm not competing in the sport of CrossFit anymore. So where does this need to be for me? And it just ended up, I just really like bodybuilding. It's my first love. So I just ended up back on a bodybuilding program. Yeah, with a coach, which is really cool.
I think also one thing I'll add, I think if you do end up moving coaches, I think one of the coolest things you can do is go back and ask for feedback from your coach, particularly when the relationship is ending. Because I think sometimes coaches can have some of the best feedback for you that maybe like never came across while you were actually being coached by them. Maybe they didn't tell you. Like maybe it's like, hey, you need to really hear this. Like, I know you thought this, this, and this, but man, you like don't even actually follow the program very well.
Yeah.
And like, you know, every single time there's an excuse. And like, I know you've had a lot of injuries on this program, but my athletes, you know, don't let that get in the way.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, right? So I think if you do end up, if this listener does end up moving coaches, maybe take the opportunity to get some like incredible feedback that maybe you don't really want to hear from the coach you're leaving.
Yeah. And the, along those lines as well is with all coaching, you know, sometimes the change is, sometimes it's what you need, but quite often it's the person running from their weaknesses. It's the person not facing up to the things that they know they need to change, and they just need something new and novel to distract them from what they've always know that they need to work on. They know they need to sleep more, you know, something basic, but they don't want to hear it. They want to think it's like some crazy progression that they're not doing, you know, or maybe it's you need to take a bit of time off, right? Maybe you need to do less volume, but no, I want a crazy program with more volume, right? So it's the stuff they don't want to hear. So it's always good to look inwards a little bit. It's always hard to bring some awareness. It's like, is it the coach or is it me? It's kind of the thing that you really need to know. Cool. Next question. We have a question from Griff Beeler.
Gryffindor?
Gryffindor. Yeah, Hufflepuff. current supplement routine for both of you.
Ooh.
Well, I just ate a true protein bar. I don't know if that counts. A new order arrived. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Actually, first time we've got the nighttime protein. That's going to be in there. That'll be interesting. And try that.
Well, that is the true protein bar is definitely part of the routine.
Yeah.
But right now, and I'll just go with basically what I had yesterday. Obviously, activating nutrients in the morning. It's my third glass of water, which I always say two normal glasses. Third glass is activating nutrients.
Do you put the salt still in your water?
No.
Okay.
Two glasses of water, activating nutrients. Like I can't tell you how consistent I am with that. Like I don't even think it's just like that. Just happens every day, no matter what time.
One or two teaspoons.
One. Heaped teaspoon, though, bro.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
Like a mountain on that.
Like teaspoon. A sand dune.
It's one. If I'm sick, I'll go two. But just one is my daily. So I have that in the morning. In terms of supplements, like not really. Like I'll have protein bars, like honestly, every single day.
Yeah.
We're gonna open up here. Every single day, I'll have a protein bar.
You can tell us.
I have protein powder at night. I never have protein powder during the day. Mm. I just like got over the post workout thing. Right?
Yeah.
I just honestly realized I way prefer eating a meal after training, and I think I feel better. I think sometimes like the whole blood sugar thing, it's like you're already a bit unsettled after a workout. I prefer to like leave it for a little bit, eat a regular meal, and like my energy is better. And obviously, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So I just eat regular food during the day. I have protein powder at night with yogurt just because I like it. I was always having ZMA at night. Now I have Peak Rest, but it has ZMA and L-tryptophan and everything in it anyway. So it's basically the same.
The true supplements as well, right?
Yeah. We just bought True ZMA and put it inside.
Yeah.
Funny story about that one is I got from True, like to make Peak Rest, we had to get the True ZMA. So I got the True ZMA, but I was like, oh, like give me it without flavor.
Oh, no.
And I still got it. And
dude, that
it is the most disgusting thing on the planet. It's so bad. Like I did everything, right? I put it in like coconut water, like still couldn't get it down. So then I made a full smoothie. I didn't want to waste it, right? I'm like, this whole big bag of it.
How big was the bag? A kilo?
No, like 500 grams.
Okay.
I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to waste this. Like,
but it's a small ZMA. Serving. It's small a lot serving. Of
ZMA. It's a lot. And like, you know, ZMA's not cheap. I'm like, no, I definitely... And this is before the Peak Rest had actually come. So I was like, no, I want to use it. So then I would make like a full smoothie, like a massive smoothie, right? Like everything in it. Bananas, protein powder, peanut butter, all that stuff. Put in one teaspoon. One teaspoon of ZMA. Undrinkable.
Yeah.
Undrinkable.
Does it taste like battery acid or something? Yeah,
it's worse than if you ever had like creatine. Creatine's one of the worst tasting things, like
No, carnitine, L-carnitine.
Yeah. Sorry, carnitine.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrific. I would say this was like right there. So like you don't know how good like true protein are and stuff when they flavor that shit. It helped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I have ZMA and Peak at night and man, that's it really.
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty similar to you. The only thing is I have Power Up as well, which is the energy based.
I've had that with the...
The chocolatey one.
No, the Power Up one from Activated Nutrients, one with the beetroot.
Yeah, yeah, beetroot, okay, ginseng. Yeah. It's got cacao, so it's chocolatey. Yeah,
true.
And then I have the greens powder and the top up. So I have Power Up, Top Up from Activate Nutrients in the morning. I have a scoop of whey with my morning green smoothie, True Protein. I have a I'll have some kind of bar. We were out of True Protein bars, so I was having all different bars, but now True's back, so I'm smashing it. One a day I try and limit it to. I did used to have True Post, but I've been out, so I haven't had it for a while, but I usually drink True Post after a workout. That's my preference. And I'm sort of the opposite to you. I don't like to eat food for a while. If you're like, hey, eat food after workout, it'll be like 4 hours later.
Yeah.
I'm like really lazy with it. No. So, because you would eat like an hour and a half, 2 hours later?
Oh, probably less.
Yeah, see, I can't stomach food that close after a workout. Even if it's an easy workout, I don't know why. I guess I've just been so used to drinking something after a workout. I don't drink it straight away, like half an hour later. I like to like stop sweating and stuff and be out of the sort of sympathetic zone. And yeah, I'll just generally, so that'll be like till the middle of the day and then getting towards the end of the day. Yeah, I haven't had any like multis or fish oils or any tablets and stuff for a while. But yeah, towards the end of the day, it's pretty much the same, except sometimes I have ZMA at night. I don't always drink ZMA. I find that it's really effective when I haven't had it for a while. Mm. If I have it regularly, then it doesn't really make much of a difference. But if I take a week off and I have it once or twice the next week, it's normally really good. I think it's just like your magnesium stores get depleted.
Yeah.
And then
I've been trying to do self-experimenting with it with the Whoop band, like taking it, not taking it, stuff like that.
What does it say?
Man, I agree. It's like, it's funny how it is like that. It's like you don't take it for a few days and I take it, always a really, really good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And it definitely stays better. Like I generally sleep better when I take it compared to when I don't.
Yeah.
But somehow, like the first time I do it, I get an extra good night's sleep.
Right. Yeah. I think some of the research I was reading about it, because I was reading about magnesium supplementation.
Yeah.
And they were saying the same thing. It's like magnesium stores generally deplete over like a week.
Yeah.
They get quite low, but one dose of supplemental magnesium will top them up to full. And I think that's when you get the most benefit from it.
That's when you really notice it.
Yep. Yep. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I like go through obviously heaps of those products. The only thing I was having, because my place is getting renovated right now, it's just kind of in storage. I was having those mushroom powders, the gourmet mushrooms. Is it gourmet mushroom? No, medicinal mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The like the reishi and
like
lion's mane and stuff. I know that's in peak, but I was just having like in my smoothie in the morning and I did get sick. So I know they're very good, like immunoregulators.
Yeah.
So they immunomodulators, sorry. They just kind of keep your immune system healthy. So I'm not going to say obviously it would save my immune system, but it could make a difference. I'll take it again and see if it makes a difference.
The only other supplement I've taken recently and I thought it was crazy effective was when I got sick, I like went crazy on ginger.
Right.
And I read this on like a Chris Gresser blog article and I got like the ginger tablets, like everything, ginger juice, like you have to take a lot of ginger.
Right.
In like the research to make a difference, but I got like a miraculous recovery from it.
Ginger. Raw ginger.
So I got tablets of ginger.
Where did you get those?
I just got from like a vitamin store.
Okay. So I can get some.
Yeah. I think most farmers have ginger tablets. It's like a ginger extract, I think. So I was taking those and then you can buy, it's really hard to find like 100% ginger juice.
Right.
Because that's like what you need, like 100% ginger juice. That's tough to find. But what I found, which is pretty close, is like a ginger drink.
Yeah.
And they're like 25% ginger.
Yeah.
With like lemon as well.
Where'd you get that?
Honey. Dr. Earth as well. Right. And I just bought two of them. So then I had enough. Like I did the math. Like, okay, cool.
You did it once? Enough.
I smashed all of that in an afternoon.
Right.
I felt so sick. I had so much ginger and I felt no better.
It's not like you'd overdo it.
And I was like, oh, this is just like, I was sick and now I'm sick because I've had extra ginger and I'm just like worst day ever. And then I woke up and I like couldn't believe the recovery.
Really?
Couldn't believe it.
Doesn't it make you sweat heaps, ginger? Because it's kind of like it heats you up, right?
Yeah. But man, ginger, honey, and like this is, you can't chop up ginger and put it in and think you're
getting
it. Doesn't work? No, no, no. It's like,
why?
Because the amount of ginger the amount of ginger you actually need is like if you juice like a quarter pound. That's what the research said online.
Fuck.
It's a heat, like juicing that much ginger.
Yeah,
so if you're just putting chops, bits of ginger in your
hot
drink, it's not the same.
Because all the fiber and shit in there.
You need to get like the tablets or like ginger juice.
That's why it hasn't worked. Because in the past, I've put like a whole thing in and it doesn't
make it worked like crazy.
Yeah, right. I'm going to try that. Okay, so next question is from Molly Wilmot. She asks, I've gotten the fittest I've ever been. However, my resting heart rate has not dropped. What might cause this? Yeah, so there are two factors that go into heart rate, resting heart rate changes. Firstly, before we get into those, you know, your resting heart rate is definitely an indicator of your aerobic fitness, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not the best marker of your health. It depends where the range is, right? If the range is super low in your 40s and 30s, I would say that you're at risk of like a overly, I can't remember what the description is, but basically a heart that it doesn't get tears. It gets some kind of failure. It's it was on a, we did talk about it once on the podcast. We had a, they had a show on local Australian television about triathletes that are dropping dead because they're getting heart failure because they're doing too much aerobic training, too much chronic aerobic training. So a really low resting heart rate could put you in danger of that condition. And a triathlete that used to train at our gym professionally, she knew two people that died from it. They die in their sleep. And then sometimes they're just out on the road doing a cycle or they're doing a run and they just drop dead as well. So they get like these weird heart failures. And that comes from way too low of a resting heart rate. That's just a chronically aerobically trained heart. And then obviously something that's way out of resting is just a chronically stressed heart.
Mm.
So if your normal range is something between like 60 and 50, right? Beats per minute.
Yeah, like I'm just, I think you're also, I'm like 47, 48.
Yeah.
And then I've been, because I've got a client, a couple of clients on Whoop. And clients that I notice have like, you know, not like us, like quite a bit more out of shape, have just had like haphazard training, are often like high 50s. So we've got about a 13, 14 difference in our beats per minute.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the morning, my resting heart rate averages, 50 to 47.
And I believe Lance Armstrong was 32.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's like half the average person.
Yeah, I'd say if you go from like, 60 and you drop around like 5 to 10 points, you've become healthier.
Yeah.
But you don't need to see like 41, 42 to be like, I'm heaps fitter, you know? It shouldn't be the indicator. If you can do more work than you could before, you're fitter. Like, that's obvious. But yeah, when it comes to training your heart, there are two differences. There's concentric cardiac hypertrophy. They just call it concentric hypertrophy. And then eccentric cardiac hypertrophy. Concentric hypertrophy basically increases the thickness of your walls and the strength at which your heart can push, can basically contract and push blood through through the heart. And then the eccentric hypertrophy, if there's a cardiologist listening to this, he's probably going to absolutely roast me, but eccentric cardiac hypertrophy, I believe, is when the walls basically, the vessel expands, so you get more space.
Yep.
The combination of them together is good. Increases the size of the heart overall. You do not want a chronically oversized heart, which is what bodybuilders get a lot of. So,
or if like, you only ever do really high intensity training.
Yeah, high intensity training and bodybuilding training. Yeah. So just, or
weightlifting.
Yeah, not doing enough aerobic work can just train the chronic, the concentric hypertrophy, which is dangerous because you get a thickening of the walls. And so that just gets like a smaller space. Obviously, it's nothing like a plaque, but it does shrink the space. So you want to make sure the vessel can expand and relax as well, which is more eccentric hypertrophy. So it's just good to get a balance of everything. If it hasn't dropped, you usually will get a drop if you have more eccentric hypertrophy, more aerobic work. It might just mean you need to do more long, slow aerobic work, which could just be walks, like hikes and stuff. Could just be time on the bike, could be like playing sport or something. But if you're just doing a lot of CrossFit and a lot of bodybuilding, you might not get like the best result there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It actually reminds me of, I don't know if you remember that like really famous study with the Tabata one where it was like people started doing, it's like the Tabata study done by that Japanese guy.
Yeah.
They were talking about that recently and it's like, they got crazy fast results, right? Because they were doing Tabata training, which is like the short, short explosive one.
Right.
That would be concentric.
Yeah.
But if you actually go back and look at the study, they were also doing like, I think 2 to 3 times a week, long, slow conditioning.
Mm.
As part of the program.
Yeah.
So they were getting both.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you
like,
need both.
And that was like really the birth of the whole like super high intensity is all you need. Yes. It's like gets you all the results. Like literally that study. It was like everyone saw that Japanese study.
That's crazy, yeah.
Check out the study. And they were doing like 2-3 times a week. So they were doing way more long, slow aerobic conditioning than they were high intensity.
Well, it just kind of threw mainstream science out the window. And it was like, here is the first proof that we have that you can get the same, if not better results from exercise in like 1/10 of the time. Yeah. And people who heard that, they're like, cool, I don't need to like go out on my bike. I need to go for a run for exercise.
Or even read the study.
I just need to do things intensely. I know there's a guy, Dr. Michael Mosley. He's like this famous doctor on TV and shit. He did a whole series on seeing if high intensity training, 2 bouts of like, it was like 4 20-second sprints a week in the whole week to see if they improved his health. And like it did slightly. And I was like, no, but this guy's like out of shape.
Yeah.
It's like he's useless. Yeah. It's like he's gone from zero to something.
And usually the biggest benefits you always see is like when someone that's only done long, slow puts in a bit of high intensity.
Yeah.
Because they haven't trained that type of fitness for the heart.
It's different.
It's different. And then the person that only does high intensity, it's like life-changing when they start doing a bit of long, slow, right?
Yeah. It's the combination. But The healthiest you can be in Western society is to have as much muscle mass as possible. Because in Western society, there are just so many abundant calories around.
Kai Greene will never die.
Nah. Okay, he's going to definitely die soon. His heart's way too big. But just because it's so... You can just get calories in so easily, right? Yeah. Especially in the States, right? Portion sizes are massive. Processed food everywhere. If you have way more muscle mass, like, you're just going to have a better body composition because you're going to have a faster metabolism. So, you can afford to, like, go out and have a bit more pizza and go out and have some more soft drinks or whatever and not damage your body composition as much because your body just burns through it as more efficiently. So, it's like if you're on the plains of Africa, like, you're going to be slim, right? But there's not calories everywhere. So, it's like your body's just adapting most of... You're trying to, like, make the most efficient body type for your environment.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, because if... Ideally, like, you would carry around heaps of muscle mass, right? It's not super efficient having a super fast metabolism.
Super awesome, but it's not super efficient.
Yeah. Super awesome, yeah, exactly, but not super efficient. Because if you think about it, like, having to eat that much food is just not very efficient, right? It just doesn't make sense. But we're just in an environment where it's everywhere, so now it does make sense because it's kind of like your protection against a bad body composition.
100%, right? Like, the higher your BMR, the easier it is to nail your diet every single day. So, I always tell clients, I'm like, cool, this is your BMR now. We're going to get this way higher because then... It's like, it's easy, right? Like, if you're jacked, you can just slip up and have a pizza, like, almost every day and still make it work.
And still,
right?
Less damage.
Whereas when your BMR is super low, it's like your wiggle room is so low. And you're like in a society that is constantly trying to screw up your diet.
Yeah, because if we were hunter-gatherer society and it was like, and you went to a gym and a hunter-gatherer society, the dumbest thing you could be is like, cool, we're going to get this metabolism as fast and as big as possible. It's like, why? Because there's no food.
Yeah.
Like, you'll starve all the time, you know? Like, if you need 5,000 calories a day to survive, which is a lot, right? Going and getting 5,000 calories, if it's not just at your local supermarket 20 meters down the road, is super inefficient.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it. It doesn't make sense. Hopefully, that answers the question. So, next question we have. We'll finish with one more here. Actually, this is a quick one. Hoff36, he wants to know who won the best caption on your September 16th Insta post. It was Max. Max, can't remember his last name, but he wrote a caption. It was like the process of turning vegan. And anyway, it was really good. It was funny. So yeah, he won. So the next one is,
I don't know if you saw, by the way, but in like the New York Times obviously in America, the New York Times of America. Yeah. It's like always comes out after these things, like some massive research article, and it's like, hey, eating like red meat this many times, like, it's not bad for you.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest ever study they've done on it. It's like not bad.
Nah. Come on, guys. We knew that. But anyone listens to My Muscle Project that isn't a vegan, and obviously we've got respect for our vegan and vegetarian homies, but fuck, red meat is healthy, man.
Oh, and very so exciting. We're organizing a date. We have Leah Keith coming on the podcast.
Who's that?
Author of Vegetarian Myth.
Oh, sick. Nice.
It's going to be good.
We've got to get Atomic Habits on as well.
Yes. James Clear.
Alex Clear?
No idea.
I think it's James Clear.
He just tried to screw me up.
Okay, so final question is from Chris Doma, CFL3. Recommendations on adding bodybuilding accessories on top of CrossFit.
Ooh.
Isn't that what everyone does? Not what everyone fucking does. Everyone does CrossFit. They're like, yeah, I love it. But like, just in case it didn't like build enough muscle, I'm going to do some bodybuilding. Just in case. Because everyone knows for a fact bodybuilding builds muscle.
Fantastic idea, first of all.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you have to do it. Like, who's not doing this?
Yeah, well, we have it in our program, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like in our group program.
Yeah, for sure. At our gym, we have it, of course.
Mandatory.
In the program, it's mandatory. Yeah. You know, literally the only person that gets away with not doing this is someone like maybe like Jason Khalifa or someone like that. Or even like probably Jody, our coach at the gym.
Yeah.
Someone that has a background in bodybuilding and then comes into CrossFit.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, bro, I spent 9 years doing that shit. I'm actually done with tricep pushdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
Triceps are like falling off my arms here.
Yeah.
I'm fine with just the kipping muscle ups. If like, I mean, you know that's not you. If you're listening to this, if you don't have massive triceps already, it's mandatory.
Yeah. Yeah. So, basically, you should 100% add bodybuilding onto it. But it's really a question of extras and your current program. That's what it is. It's just like, does your current extras fit in with your program? Because bodybuilding accessories on top of CrossFit, but a CrossFit program with heaps of bodybuilding in it, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know? But it's also like an extras program with bodybuilding and it's heaps of conditioning and high intensity work and low volume. Yeah, it would be really good for joint integrity. So, that's really the question. So, yes, it just depends on your CrossFit program And yes, it just depends on the bodybuilding program and how it fits in. And does it just subtract? Which is why when we built Bench Booster, which I'll tell you for a sec, tell you about in a sec, I wanted it to be able to fit over most programs. But there are situations where it doesn't make sense to put the Bench Booster in, because then you might be benching and pressing 4 or 5 days a week. If you added that on top, you might not recover and it'll make you worse.
For sure. Yeah, like I think one of the biggest mistakes I made when I was doing CrossFit was starting through extras, which made a big difference and made me a lot better, but then not knowing how to pull them out.
Yeah.
You've got to pull them out. Yeah. Like once you start getting sport specific, pull them all out.
Yeah.
Same as when I went on a proper powerlifting program. Once you get into like the peaking of your powerlifting program, you got no more extras.
Yeah.
You're done with extras.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Maybe it's like, you know, one set of like dumbbell press, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to get used to like, hey, pretty much doing no extras. So you just got to realize that like that's how your year's got to go. Sometimes you're doing heaps, sometimes you're doing none.
I think as well, like the people that do chronic extras that can't pull them out, they're also insecure about themselves,
yeah,
their performance. They're worried that they're either not training hard enough, not doing enough volume, not big enough, all this sort of thing. If it's a well-structured program, then you don't have to worry about those things. You need to like have more faith in what you're doing and not panic as much. But anyway, with the Bench Booster program, I've decided it was so popular. It's actually really cool. Thank you guys, whoever has bought the program so far. We were really excited to make it, but I've decided just because it did so well, I was going to send you guys out an email with an exclusive offer. So you can still get the discount on the Bench Booster program till the end of the week, but you have to be on the email list. I'm only going to send it via email. So the mymilesproject.com/newsletter, or you can just scroll to the footer of the website and you can just add yourself in there. And we'll email out the Bench Booster program in the next 24 hours. And that will have a code that's basically valid till the end of the week. So you can still get a 25% discount on the program as well.
Sick.
Cool. We don't actually have a movie for you today. But Bill's Brain is the one coming next week, which is the documentary on... Quite a few people sent it to us. Bill...
Gates.
Gates. I was thinking Bill Burr. I was like, nah, Bill Burr's not the founder of Microsoft.
It's on Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And it is on Netflix.
Very excited about that. We did mention a few companies in this episode. Pilot, if you go to pilot.com.au, if you decide to use their doctor's consultation, so they connect Australian men with doctors, MyMuscle is the code to receive $5 off. If you go to Whoop and you want to get the Whoop band, you want to join us, you want to join our clients, you want to join the Whoop movement, it's MyMuscle as well. When you check out, you're going to get 15% off. A lot of people have been getting the Whoop, so they've been messaging us all sorts of questions. We always answer them. So,
and someone asked me, can we get a MyMuscle Project team? Because, you know, there's like teams on Whoop.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, oh, like, can we see each other?
It's a good idea.
Have you used, like, do you see anyone else's
the team
results?
Feature? You know, maybe we'll message them about the team feature and we can set up something like that. But that would be really cool. So MyMuscle for both companies to use the codes at checkout and get a little discount. Guys, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you share it with your friends. Tag us on Instagram. We'll repost it. And yeah, any feedback is always welcome. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Speak to you next week.